That was terrific. I felt like I was back in my home church growing up. It was just awesome. Now, they were just transitioning from robes, I mean, to the modern look, like you guys have, you know, where they all dress the same, with colored, you know, it was just terrific. You know, except you weren't black. If you could just be black, we would have had it. We were down in California at a black church, and Anita was singing her heart out, and one of the colored fellows turned around and says, "You're a white woman, but you sing like a black one." Okay, Easter, we'll be back for that. Well, a week or so ago, as I was walking to work, three thoughts came to my mind, and it felt like it was for today. And so I hope it wasn't just for me. Hopefully it's for you. Now, I'm going to speak briefly today, and then we're going to have communion. And while I'm speaking, the individuals are going to be getting ready for communion, and the choir is going to come back up again. But I don't want to lose you when all that movement happens. If you can just kind of hang in and focus on me, because it's all going to happen shortly. The plan is for me to speak briefly this morning. So I want to talk to you, first of all, about, I have 3 points. They go fast, but sometimes we don't recognize our Bible. That was the first thought that God gave me. Sometimes we don't recognize our Bible. And I thought to myself, well, hold it. We all recognize our Bible. I mean, it's black or brown or purple, or, you know, we all recognize it. And yet he says, no, sometimes we don't recognize the truth of our Bible. And then he gave me this thought. The Sadducees came to Jesus trying to trap him in some theological question regarding the resurrection. You see, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And now the Sadducees were the liberal theologians. They were the ruling theologians during Jesus' time. And they were quite liberal. They had a consensus theology. You know, what do we all believe together? You know, and so they found some common ground that we all believe together. But because of that, they missed truth in the Bible. And so Jesus said to them, "You err because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Now, hold it. These guys, their whole purpose, the reason for living, for being, they had studied the scriptures since they was this high. As soon as they could talk, they were memorizing scriptures. And Jesus says, "You don't know the scriptures." And they're about ready to not only pull out their hair, but his hair. They were terribly upset at this thought. Now, there were two other groups, religious groups, during Jesus' time, key religious groups. One of them was called the scribes. Now, the scribes were our printing press. They hand-wrote the Bible. But they took this thing extremely serious. I mean, when they got to the name of God, Yahweh, they would actually put their pen down and go take a bath and come back again and write his name. Now, you imagine, in some places in the Old Testament, like in Psalms, God's name is quite, I mean, they were clean people. They lived clean lives. They took this thing very seriously. That they guarded the authenticity of the biblical text. Now, there's another group. They're called the Pharisees. The Pharisees' primary purpose was to guard the practice of keeping the divine commandments. So the commandments are in the text of the Bible. Now, the Pharisees saw themselves as the revivalists. They were the ones anticipating and expecting the soon coming of the Messiah to set up his kingdom. And so they saw themselves much better than the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the old guard. In fact, the high priest, Caiaphas, was a Sadducee. And the Pharisees saw themselves, we're the young upstarts, we're expecting revival, the Messiah is going to come, and the scribes were somewhat in the middle, we're defending the authenticity of the biblical text. Well, yet when the scribes and the Pharisees berated Jesus for permitting his disciples to eat with unwashed hands, Jesus' rebuttal was quite firm with them. He says, "You nullify the word of God by your traditions." Now hold it. They were the ones charged with protecting the Word of God. And yet Jesus says, you nullify the Word of God. Imagine being pinned against the wall with those harsh words. And then to the Pharisees, he says, you completely invalidate, make void, God's commandment in order to maintain your traditions. Whew, those are pretty harsh words to all three of the primary leaders of religion in his times. You see, it was their purpose to guard Scripture, and yet they missed it. And I think God was saying to me, no matter how much we read the Bible or memorize it, are we missing the truth from Scripture? Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, you, scribes and Pharisees, strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. I mean, they were so meticulous at some things, they'd strain out a gnat at it, and yet other gaping things, they just swallowed whole hog. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like someone who strains on a gnat and yet swallows other stuff. So what divides you and me from a cult? Is it our sincerity? Oh, no, they're pretty sincere. Is it our passion? No, they aren't passionate on many occasions. How about our devotions? No, they got a lot of devotions. How about our knowledge? Many of them are very knowledgeable. So what it is? It's truth. That's what makes the difference. We're supposed to have truth. Jesus spoke to a woman in a cult and invited her to leave her lies and worship in spirit and in truth. So true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's what you and I must do. We must find God's truth. I want my faith and yours, our faith and practice, to be rooted in biblical truth. We have to keep pushing for that, looking for God's truth. Now, Paul tells Timothy, he says, hold firmly to the word of life. The word means to pay attention to take heed unto, to observe, attend, and to retain the word of life. Jesus said it this way. He spoke about seeds being cast, and he says, the seeds that fell on good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word and cling to it and patiently produce a huge harvest. So it's that clinging to the truth of God's word that you and I need to do, not just be satisfied with status quo, what we've always thought. No, we find and research and live with the truth. It's to seize, it's to take hold of, hold fast, keep secure, firmly possess it in our memory, God's truth. So, Heavenly Father, open our eyes to the camel-sized lies that we're swallowing and show us the truth of your word, the Bible. Well, the second thing that God told me is that sometimes we don't recognize our beliefs. First, we don't recognize our Bible, the Scripture, but second time, we don't recognize our beliefs. It's so tragic when folks don't know what they believe. But it's even more tragic when people don't believe what they know. It's better to believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts than to doubt your or believe your doubts and doubt your beliefs. Jesus told Thomas, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. It still happens today. This painting is found in North Wales, and it's entitled Still Doubting. It didn't just happen back in Jesus' day, you know, with Thomas. It still happens today. People are doubting the truth of God's word and what they believe. So few, honestly, really believe. Many only believe that they believe, or hope that they believe at the best. Why? Because the divine seems so unbelievable. Paul tells Timothy, he says, cling tightly to your faith. Cling to it. It's to lay hold of, it's to cling to, seize on, hold fast, a hold in hand, hold in mind, keep in memory, retain, possess, cling to your faith in Christ. In another place, in the Message version, it says, keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Your teaching is your doctrine, what you believe. And in Hebrews, it says, let us hold fast. Other translations use the word hold unswervingly or hold resolutely or hold tightly. The profession of our faith. You know, there's something, it takes energy to believe what you believe. Well, because the enemy wants to question what you believe. He wants you to let go of what you believe. But we must hold tightly to it. Again, it's to seize, to take hold of, to keep secure, keep firm possession of, to keep in our memory, to retain it. Faith never loses consciousness of the God that invades the impossible. You and I have to keep that in our minds, that God invades the impossible. And our faith never loses sight of that. You see, the more we live as citizens of heaven, the more heaven's realities invades and infects our faith. You know your mind has been renewed when the impossible looks logical. You say, oh, that could work. That could happen. Let's do that. Walk around this city 7 times, blow a horn, sure, the walls will come down. Yeah. Hold your rod over the Red Sea, and sure, it'll just open up. It just seems logical. Let's do that. I mean, somehow revival comes here when the impossible looks logical. When we say, yes, that'll work. I can talk to my neighbor, and they'll get saved. I just know it'll happen. We can get excited about this. Okay. Inside of each of us, there is that thought, yes, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh, God. You see, there's something in me that doesn't believe, but there is something in me that wants to believe and say, yes, I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, there is that doubt factor, but we push past that doubt factor. We hang on tightly, we cling to the faith that God gives us. Now, there's one third thing, and it goes fast. Sometimes we don't recognize our blessings. In fact, we don't see our blessings as our blessings. We think our blessings are actually curses to us. You know the saying, things are going bad in your life, and someone says to you, oh, it rains on the just and on the unjust. What they're really saying is, trouble comes on good people as well as bad people. But actually, that phrase, it rains on the just and the unjust, is a corruption of Jesus' own words. He says it this way. He, God the Father, makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain, blessings, on the just and the unjust. You see, Jesus, the promised land, wasn't in a beautiful, lush, green rainforest. It was a dry, arid desert. And so when they received rain, it was something they looked forward to. They'd stand outside and soak up the rain. Oh, it's raining. It's a blessing. Sometimes we see rain as a curse. And God says, no, it's a blessing. I'm sharing my blessings on you. Now, initially, the disciples didn't recognize Jesus' own death on the cross as a blessing. They saw it as a curse. Oh no, they're killing the Messiah. And he says, no, this is a blessing. This is the biggest blessing you ever had, because I want to forgive your sins. I'm taking your penalty of sin on myself. And at the Last Supper, he said these words. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when they had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And while I'm reading the rest of it, can I get some men to serve the... Thank you. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I'll not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, this morning, we're going to be taking communion together. And as we do, if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we just invite you to join with us. The choir is going to be singing as we do this. And you're just going to follow my lead. I'm going to pray over the emblems. In fact, why don't we close our eyes and pray right now over the emblems? And then in just a moment, we'll take together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you can help us to know our Bible. You can help us to know our beliefs. And you can help us to know our blessings, to cling to them, to stick with them, stay on them. Thank you that our biggest blessing is your death on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you forgave us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Let's take together the emblem of his broken body. Let's take together the emblem of his shed blood. Hallelujah. Now let's party. The choir is going to sing for us a real party song. I'll take your cups.
Hallelujah.